to Dharma element, and if we classify, they are different into the 18 types of dhatu.
Like Dhamma Ramana.
No need about that at all, because people just pay attention to it. But what is it? Tatharampana.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Because people just talk about the Tathalampana, Tathalampana, it seems like it's so very important. But actually, not important at all, because it is vipaka citta, conditioned by karma to receive object after javana. That's all. It's like javana consumes, and what is left is for 2 moments, conditioned by karma, to just arise and have that object.
Again.
Mm-hmm. And then the object falls away. That's all.
Dhamma dhatu is explained here as mind object element.
When we talk about different kinds, classify the Dhamma into different ways, but we understand that all Dhamma is dhatu. It doesn't matter at all. Anything is Dhamma and dhatu. But there are so many various Dhamma. That's why, how can we know what type of dhatu for this and this? So I think that the way it's classified as the 18 dhatu, just to differentiate between elements and Dhamma, to be understood that they are, cannot be the same. They cannot be the same. Like Chakku Vinyana Dhatu cannot be Sota Vinyana Dhatu at all.
And we know that whatever it says in the dictionary or however it's translated, that Dhamma Dhatu are Chetasikas and
Chitta Rupa.
Yeah. Or here, if it's under Dhamma Dhatu, then as opposed to Mano Dhatu, Mano Vinyana Dhatu, Dhamma Dhatu are the other dhatus not yet mentioned. Subtle rupas, chetasikas, and Dhamma.
You believe in the book?
No, no, no. Actually, I don't believe that book. Yeah.
Yes, there are.
It depends on understanding and realities themselves, not just what the book said.
But I believe Dhatukata, then it's very, very good. Dhatukata.
Dhatukata.
Yeah.
Dhatukata. Just believe or understand.
But it's very, for example, talking about this dictionary is very, very helpful, yeah, and very good explanations, but of course,
yeah,
there are bound
like
to be
this
some
kind of
errors.
Explanation like in this dictionary. It's not, I never read these dictionaries because it's like.
It's only literally translation, and you know that I did not look at the dictionary at all, because I know that the person who wrote dictionary didn't understand the meaning of it at all. Just this is this translated or interpreted according to grammar and only that, but no understanding. Look it up at the commentaries better than dictionary.
But Ajahn, in terms of, in the first instance, having some understanding of the Pali word, a possible,
yes.
Just a possible understanding to ask about.
Like Nama, what is the translation of Dhamma? Nama.
Do you mean
I don't mind just what book says, but what is Nama?
That which experiences an object.
Is that in this book, please?
I don't know, I haven't actually looked up.
please have a look.
It's not the same. I've looked at many of the definitions in there sometimes when I'm reading DSG posts, and sometimes it's helpful and other times useless.
That's right. It's just another tool, maybe.
Nama.
Bit long.
I think it's not bad on yeah. Nama. It's okay.
You want Nama?
Yeah. Yes, Nama.
Okay. Nama. Nama. Okay. It's literally name, mind, mentality. This term is generally used as a collective name for the four mental groups, Arupino Kanda, feeling, Vedana, perception, Sanya, mental formation, Sankara, and consciousness, Vijnana. Within the fourth link, Namarupa, in the formula of the Patishan Samupada, however, it applies only to karma result, Vipaka, feeling and perception, and a few karma resultant mental functions, inseparable form from any consciousness. As it is said, feeling, Vedana, perception, Sanya, volition, Cetana, impression, Pasa, mental advertence, Manasikara, this, O brother, is called mind, Nama. With the additional of the two more mental factors, namely mental vitality, Jivita, and concentration, Samadhi here, stationary phase of mind, Chittatiti. These seven factors are said to be Abhidhammata Sangaha, to be the inseparable mental factors in any state of consciousness.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Maybe that which experiences is an object.
But if you look up something like Ayatana, completely wrong. Yeah.
Okay, Ayatana.
This is what is wrong.
Yes, let's find something we can laugh from.
Oh, we can cry.
Because in Ayatana it includes concepts and it's like Aramana or
yes.
Dhammaramana.
Yeah.
Ajahn, what would you recommend in trying to understand a Pali word?
I think that each word represents reality. For example, Dhamma, see, it's the Dhamma now. What is Dhamma? Everything is Dhamma, so now it's Dhamma. One is always surrounded by Dhamma from morning to night, but not understand any Dhamma at all.
Maybe you are saying, don't try to understand too many words.
I think that if we can understand each word very deeply, thoroughly, it helps a lot. Instead of just, oh, I understand Dhamma, but actually it's not any understanding at all. Just have heard that word and thought that one understood it. For example, what Dhamma is now.
Seeing visible objects.
Yes. Yeah. So not self?
The whole list.
Not self?
Not self.
Because they are Nama. They are Dhamma, not self.
Right.
And at this moment, is it not self?
Yes.
Really?
No. Honest answer?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah. That's why this should be investigated or considered so much until it begins to understand that only words doesn't help until one understands better about what's the difference between the idea of there is no self and at moment of being understanding little by little that is that, so it's not self. For example, very simple word like visible object. Everyone can say, now what is seen is visible object. But what about the understanding? Until at this moment, it's that which can be seen, only that. And it is forgotten instantly when there's hearing or thinking. Always like that. Even in a moment, it's gone. See? until then, so we can understand what's meant by visible object. No body, no one, no self, nothing in it. It appears, that's all, and arises and falls away beyond imagination. Is this meditation?
Just actually, there is no such word in Tipitaka, just bhavana only.
Yeah. And what's meant by bhavana?
Mental development.
Development of understanding.
Now? Yeah. Okay. Little by little.
Question about what you were saying about visible object rising and falling away. If the rise and falling away is not apparent to us, we just know that by thinking.
Only
don't we?
To panya,
we can just,
developed panya.
Right. So for the person whose panya is not that developed, there's no actual direct experience of rising and falling
That's
away.
That's why the development of right understanding begins from knowing that it's only visible object. That's all. Little by little, until it conditioned the idea of beginning to detach from taking it for something. So one know how to have less and less attachment and clinging and less ignorance. Otherwise, one thinks that one can have no ignorance suddenly or instantly, but that is not the way. The way is developing the understanding of reality as it is. When it's not experienced as that which appears, how can there be the understanding of the arising and falling away of it? Impossible. And there is not just visible objects, see? That's why awareness begins to be aware of a reality by conditions, not at will. Otherwise, one cannot know that it's anatta. No one can do anything at all. It's conditioned already and goes away instantly, already, each moment. Can there be awareness of a reality right now? Yes, but it depends on conditions. And after that, after the moment of being aware,
thinking.
And after that?
Ignorance.
Yeah. Without awareness or with awareness?
Depends on conditions.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even living alone can be living with lobha and dosa, but with more understanding.
You say living alone can be with lobha and dosa, but with more understanding, but not at the same time.
Do we have to think with it at the same time? It's thinking again,
yeah,
coming in between all the time.
Ajahn, we had a conversation on the boat about borrowing understanding.
Yes.
I know. This is
good idea.
For some times,
I suggested to Ajahn that, after hearing about visible object and dhammas and sati for many years, sometimes it seems as if there is understanding, but on reflection, it is more Ajahn's understanding. And so I suggested that maybe it was like borrowing her understanding, you see. When I reflected on what you said, of course, about, you know, that it's not yours and it's not mine, etc., I suppose that in terms of understanding the Buddha's teachings, there has always been those who are able to understand more and to share that understanding with others. And it would be by way of Sanya, would it?
Okay, please. Thinking about the word. What is Sanya?
Well, it's that which marks and remembers, as we were talking about.
Does it appear as object of understanding as it is, as an other reality?
Well, it must be there when there is.
So it's only thinking some level again of about it, not the direct understanding.
No, not direct understanding, and yet. At any level of understanding, there must be some remembering.
Yes, like now.
Well, like now, if there
is there sanya now?
There must be sanya, because otherwise there would be no interest.
Or not understanding anything at all, not know what it is.
That's right. Uh-huh. So there must be some level of understanding that
Sanya is not understanding.
No. But that Sanya is, when it arises, that it's remembering some understanding.
At the moment when whatever appears is there.
True.
Yeah.
But to go back to why it is that there is interest in Dharma, it would seem that there must be some connection with what Sanya has marked and remembered in the past.
When Sanya arises with each citta, no need to say whether why one is interested in this and that, because interest is another reality, which is not sanya.
So just another reality to be known.
It's like talking about visible object while visible object is appearing. Just to train or to develop understanding little by little, which is not clear in the beginning that now the awareness is performing its function at moment of seeing to begin to understand, because it's so very gradual. Because there's no other object while they're seeing. And we are talking about visible object. No attention to other thing but that which is seen. This is meant by the development of understanding visible object as it is. Because it's appearing now. And it will bring some more understanding little by little. Even in darkness, and one opens one's eyes, there is seeing. So one can understand more about seeing sees, no matter what object is darkness. Or like now. Is that only one doorway? It's seeing, which is now seeing, that's all. No one. That's why Buddha talked a lot about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking, because there are six doorways of citta to experience objects. The way it is, arising and falling away, arising and falling away, non-stop. From restaurant to where we stay and here, and then after that, tomorrow will come. And what appears now is gone. Learn to understand the way it is. No permanent moment at all. But there is clinging with ignorance of what is seen. By understanding this, can there be no attachment? Not yet. Just learn to understand the way it is. Even attachment is just a reality different from aversion and whisper object. Just understands every Dhamma which appears until there's no doubt and no self in it.
And I was going to say about interest, it seems like it's this person's interest or that person's or my interest, but actually it's just another conditioned Dhamma not belonging to anyone, so not anyone's interest, just like it's not anyone seeing, so just a Dharma that arises and falls away.
And it's clearer when we don't mind what it's called. But since they are in a moment, that's why it's difficult to understand one reality at a time. Apart from the others, like seeing is not visible object, and visible object is not seeing. In a moment, what pachaya is there? What else? Because you see that when one says aramana pachaya, it means that there is the understanding of what is aramana pachaya. So as soon as they're seeing, it depends on whether one thinks about aramana pachaya or understand that it's only aramana. So without it, citta cannot arise. To see the anattaness of each moment, of each reality. So even the word aramana pachaya can condition different levels of understanding. Because without it, citta cannot arise. There is no seeing. So just this, it takes time to really understand what is meant by aramana pachaya.
What's the difference between just using that term as a label and having some level of understanding? What's the difference?
Without word, we cannot understanding what appears now and that which sees. So we have to use different terms. The arama is that which appears when citta experiences it. So it's not seeing, it's not hearing, but it's that which is experienced. And one can see that citta, cetasika's reality arises all day long, see? If one just wants to know the story of them, one reads and lots of words, seems like there is understanding, but it's only the standing words. not the reality which is now appearing. For example, Aramana Pachaya, now at moment of seeing, see, at moment of seeing, that is Aramana. And what is that? With its sound, see, Aramana, a reality, which is object of experiencing, and experiencing which is hearing. Long, long, many words, but in reality just in a moment. That which experiences and that which is experienced, and everything goes away. So nothing to do with meditation. In a meditation center.
You mentioned the other day, and at lunchtime you were just mentioning to Lucas that some people may have, for example, gone to meditation retreats or just on their own have had some special kind of or unusual experiences which they take for being some kind of attainment, and then when they study Dharma, even they study a lot about the details, it seems that they're very sincere in their interest in Dharma, but it may just be trying to map out or identify the experiences they've had. Was that what you were saying? May study a lot about reality, but actually still be clinging to the old experience, and there may still be some wrong view that.
So Panya can say that no matter what experience it is, it's only an experience which appears and disappears, the same exactly. But when there is not a detachment, it's object of attachment, just cling and cling, just wanting to know or wanting to experience it again.
And just kind of obsessed by thinking mm-hmm. about it mm-hmm. and having some idea that there is something superior about the understanding mm-hmm. because there has been this experience.
Until Panya can see that it's useless, why cling to such experience? What's the worth of it? It's gone. It indicates that there is no more, but still there is clinging to that which is gone.
And whether it was a real experience, as they think, or imagine, doesn't really matter, because now it's just clinging to that idea or mm. that.
No more. Never arise again. Whatever arises now is not the same one which is gone. Just arise to experience.
Can we talk a little bit more about Ahara Pachya? Because we've touched on it once or twice, and one or two people have come up to ask me about it after the discussions. I think you were one, and one of the Vietnamese also asked me. So there are four kinds of Ahara Pachya, ahara meaning nutriment, and the four kinds of condition are citta, chetana, passa, and the oja or the nutriment in food. So you've been talking quite a lot about consuming citta, consuming the object, so by way of ahara pachya, citta arises every moment and consumes its object, and passa arises with every citta. Without passa, there would be no experiencing of an object. And chetana, in a similar way, arises every moment, coordinating the other chetasikas and citta to consume the object. And then the fourth one, Oja, without the consuming of the nutriment in food, there could not be the nutriment in each group of rupas in the body, could not produce new rupas. So these are four kinds of ahara pachya. But I'm just, you've been talking quite a bit about pasa consuming the object and citta consuming the object.